We are continuing to march through Romans. We're in chapter 5. Last week, Justin Tucker preached from this chapter, the first 11 verses, and I love the title of his message, Justification Changes Everything. Such a helpful message last week. He made three big points. That justification changes how we relate to God. We now stand with him in peace. Justification changes how we relate to a broken world. We now have hope for endurance and character shaping and future glory. And then justification means that we are loved and we have a new way of loving others. So that little outline that Justin gave us last week is going to serve us the next several weeks in preaching, because we're going to pick one of those and work our way through, and I'll explain more about that in a moment. Today, that first one, peace with God. So if you'll stand with me in honor of God's word, I'm going to read the first two verses of Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. This is God's word for us. You may be seated. Yes, we're going to spend multiple weeks in 11 verses in Romans chapter 5, because some passages call for us to slow down. To slow down and take a deep look. Now, just a word about the Bible. The Bible is a big book with 66 books, and some of the books and the passages of the Bible are written to tell a story. So you wouldn't slow down too much. You don't look at every word as closely as the others because you don't want to miss the storyline. You just keep reading the story. We were talking about Abraham a couple of weeks ago. Abraham's a good example of that. If you go back to Genesis, there's 10 chapters in the book of Genesis all about Abraham. You kind of want to read that, like read it as a story. Then there are other places in the Bible where a long argument is being made to get you to a point. Speaking of Abraham, that's what happened in Romans chapter 4. One whole chapter on Abraham to make one point, and that is he was justified by faith. So you got to read the whole argument so you don't miss the point. But then there are some passages where you have to slow down because they're heavy with teaching, with doctrine, we call it, like layer upon layer, truth after truth, line after line, word after word to be understood. You have to peel it back and peer into it and meditate on it so we'll know what it means and the riches of it and how it applies to our lives. Romans 5 is one of those passages. It's one of those portions in the Bible where after a while, your Bible just falls open to it automatically because you've been turning to it so much. It's marked up with blue and black ink and yellow highlighter, and it's kind of shriveled up because maybe the sweat of your hands has messed up the pages, or maybe the tears from your eyes as you read about God's grace. It's a beautiful, beautiful text that we slow down to spend some weeks in, because justification with God really does change everything. And we want to know what that's all about. The first thing we're going to say, well, last week was the overview from Justin. So the second thing we're going to say is come back and pick up the first point and say this. Justification means that we have peace with God. Now, if you look at verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith. Very important, because when it says therefore, since, and then justified by faith, he's referring to something he's already said. And that is, back in chapter 4, that is, we're justified by faith in Christ. Since that's true, this is what happens. Well, what happens is peace with God, but it's all rooted in being justified by faith. In other words, to be justified is the condition upon which our peace with God rests. And this condition of being justified by God through faith in Christ can never be removed, and it can't be overlooked. Without the condition of being justified by faith in Christ, we have no peace with God. If you ever hear anybody talking about being at peace with God, and you don't at the same time hear that person talking about being justified by faith in Christ, then you're hearing about a false peace. You can't have peace with God without justification. And if you ever hear someone talking about peace with God, and they're adding to justification by faith, they're adding something to that, then you don't have peace with God. You have a false peace, because justification by faith is the only condition upon which our peace with God rests. Justification by faith cannot be missing, nor can it be mixed with anything. Justification by faith is the ground of our peace with God, which then means we should probably take another few minutes and just talk about justification by faith. What is it? Romans 3 and 4 have told us, and this is where it starts, that we as human beings are out of right relationship with God. We are sinners, and we are out of right relationship with God. And because we have rebelled against God, God put forth Christ, his own Son, the righteous one, to be the sacrifice for our sins by his death on the cross. He put forth his own Son, Jesus, to bear his wrath against our sin, to pay our penalty for our sin, that through faith in him, we would be forgiven of our sin. And then God raised him up from the dead. Raising him from the grave was as the victor over sin and death. And now, alive, Christ appears before God as our representative, declaring that what he did on the cross counts for us, therefore we're forgiven. And his righteous life counts as ours, and therefore we're righteous before God. By faith in him, we stand before God. And it's all by faith, he says. Just therefore, since we've been justified by faith. Faith is a conscious, active trust in God and in the work of Christ on the cross. It includes turning from our sin. It includes turning from anything that we're depending on to be made right with God. That's what repentance is about. Repentance is a word that simply means to turn. And to turn, you got to turn from something into something else. You turn from sin, pride, anything that we depend on to make us right with God, we repent of that. We turn to Christ. This is faith. Solely depending on what Christ has done on our behalf to become ours through faith in him. This is how we're justified. Once justified, he says, we have peace with God. Have you been justified by God? Are you right in the presence of God? Are you in right relationship with God? Do you trust in Jesus Christ? Everybody's got a list of something that we're depending on. We all do it, even if we say we don't. It's subtle. It's so subtle. You say, oh, I'm trusting in Jesus to be saved. And then not long after that, we start to have that tightened up sense that, oh, I'm not quite living up the way someone else is. I might not be. Well, you've just reverted back. Or everyone, you know, has a time in their life where they say, I really want all the benefits of being a Christian, but I'm not really ready to repent of my sin. The question is, have you come to faith in Jesus Christ? Have you repented of your sin and any self-trust and any trust in anything else to come to Jesus? Are you trusting in him to make you right with God? Therefore, he says, since we have been justified by faith. So we have to start right there because that's the condition. That's the ground of it all. Be justified. Be saved. Be right with God. Come in faith. Come. God is so merciful. He's so willing, ready to receive sinful people who come to him in trust and faith. He does. And when we are justified, we have peace. Now we take this deeper look at peace. Two questions I want to ask. One, what kind of peace are we talking about? Let's describe it. And then secondly, how do we enjoy it? So what kind of peace are we talking about? Let's describe it first. Let me give you four things, okay? First of all, peace with God is this. Number one, it is peace before God. Peace with God is peace before God, meaning standing in the presence of God at peace rather than in enmity. Enmity is a word, is a state of being when you are an enemy. Peace with God is peace before God, not as his enemy, but as his child. This is the beauty of the gospel. And let's talk about that. Romans 8:1 says, like three chapters later, it says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, that means there once was condemnation for those outside of Christ. If it's not now, if he says it's not now, it means, but it once was. So there's now no condemnation, but there once was condemnation. Why? Because, as Romans 5:10 says, we were enemies. Look at verse 10, just right there in the same chapter. Chapter 5, verse 10, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Now, we always say, oh, look, I'm reconciled to God. Yeah, but did you miss the first part? We were enemies. Really? It's very strong language. Very strong language. But here's how it is. Our sin is an affront to God in his holiness and in his love. Here's God, creator of all, good in his being, laid out and put forth everything that is needed for human flourishing. And those very humans rebelled. It's a mockery of his goodness. It's a mockery of his holiness. It's spurning his love. Here's God that says, I have created everything in love. You know when God created the world, he was creating the world out of an overflow of love. Love that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit shared together. And he said, and the one God, three persons, I'm going to express this love outwardly, and we were created. It was all love. And when we say to God, no, we're spurning his love. Our sin then, to mock his holiness and to spurn his love, puts us at enmity. It puts us at a state of opposing God as God's enemy. And our sin will be judged. It's appointed to everyone to die, and then comes the judgment. Our sin puts us in a state, being judged in a state of condemnation, as our sin justly deserves to be punished, and then we, the sinners, to be punished along with it. Now, this is no state of peace. Before a holy and loving God, we are rebels and we are offenders and we stand condemned and we stand under the wrath of God, which is how Romans started, chapter 1, verse 18. Now, the wrath of God has been revealed against the unrighteousness of all who have suppressed the truth and lived ungodly lives. We stand before God. No matter what is happening in this world, no matter what is happening in our world, we all must always deal with the most basic reality of our existence, and that is that we stand before God. So the question is, how do we stand before God? What is our status before God? And this word justification, or to be justified by faith, means that we stand before God, who is the judge, at peace. It means that we stand before God with Jesus Christ, our representative, who has pardoned us from our sins because he died for them. He declares us righteous because he counts his righteousness as ours. And so we no longer stand as enemies, condemned. We stand as children, forgiven. Sounds like I'm an old Puritan, doesn't it? Sounds like somebody could say, this sounds like what we think, you know, hardcore fundamentalist evangelical types, always talking about condemnation and wrath. And why are we doing this? Aren't we past this? Haven't we moved on from this kind of language? Why do we keep talking about sin and wrath and judgment and condemnation? It's not because it's fun. First and foremost, we do it is because this is the first part of the exposition of the gospel of Jesus Christ laid out in the book of Romans. And we keep talking about this secondly because the only way to appreciate and enjoy peace with God is to understand our lives before we were at peace with God. The only way to really understand and appreciate and enjoy peace with God is to know that at one point we were enemies of God by our own making. If we have no patience for talk of judgment and wrath, we'll have no appreciation for the reality of peace with God. Peace with God, first and foremost, and here's the glory of this, here's the beauty of this. Peace with God, first and foremost, means peace before God, a new standing with God, a new status with God. No longer enemies, but children. No longer under condemnation, no more condemnation, but freedom and favor and acceptance. This is the gospel. And maybe if we don't appreciate the freedom and the favor and the acceptance and if we don't have joy in that, it might be because we have lost sight of where we were. That's why in Romans and Ephesians 2, it keeps telling us where we were. Now here's where we are. Peace with God is first and foremost peace before God. Second, peace with God is peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 1. Through, all right? There's a key word. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That means that peace with God was earned, achieved, and won for us by Christ at the cross and in the resurrection. It is a peace at a cost. It cost him his life. Have we forgotten that Christ actually died for our sins, crucified for our sins? He took our sin upon himself, putting himself in the place of enmity with God, satisfying the sentence of condemnation in our place, and he died. You've probably heard the saying, "I've made my peace with God." Not really. Now, if through repentance of sin and faith in Christ alone and trusting in his death and resurrection for your salvation, you have entered into peace with God, yes. But it was made by Christ and not by you or me. Colossians 1, this peace was made by his blood. Cost him his life. Ephesians 2, he is our peace. To deeply appreciate peace with God in a way that moves us to self-denying, cross-bearing, following after Christ, we must remember that it cost Jesus his life. Third, so it's peace before God, it's peace through Christ, his death cost him something. Third, having peace with God through Christ, we now, verse 2, have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And the emphasis here is on access into grace. Access into grace because we have peace. Jesus brings us in. Hebrews speaks of this. I like to think of it. It says that we have access to the throne of grace. It's like into a room where God dwells, his sovereign throne is. He's ruler of all. And what's there? Grace. He calls it a throne of grace. and it flows to everyone who has access into that room. And you get access into that room by having peace with God. And Jesus established that peace for us. Jesus brings us in. He's not our access pass. He's our access person. He's our access savior. You see, we once stood outside. But now, brought near, now access into this grace in which we stand. And we can see that in a couple of ways. One, we see this grace in which we stand, we see it as a status of favor. We now stand with a whole new status before God. You and I are in some status, in some defined relationship with everyone, including with God. To enter into the throne or into the throne of grace, to have access into the grace in which we stand, means we have a whole new status with God, and it's a status of favor. How many times this week have you heard a message and then you've come to believe that you're not quite in the favor of God? That you're not quite accepted as a child of God? How many times this week has something happened, a message that you've heard or a failure that you've had, you think, oh, I have fallen short. I'm not quite there. I've got to do something to earn my way back into this good standing with God, this favor with God. It's kind of like you were in the room, but then somebody told you something or you read something or you did something and it's like, oh, I got my one foot just went back out of the room. That's not true. It's not true. We have access into this grace in which we stand, both feet, on the rock, on the foundation of Jesus who makes our peace. We're at peace with God, standing in this grace. It also means this. Not only do we have this new standing, new status with God, it means that we're in the place where there is the abundance of help. Grace is favor. Grace is also help. When you enter the grace in which we stand, you enter the place where God is lavishing his help on us. So when we start in verse 3, which we'll come to next week, beginning there, it starts to speak of suffering and the need for endurance. Well, how's that going to happen? We're going to receive. We're the recipients of an ongoing flow of grace from this throne of grace, from this God himself who has made our peace. How many times this week have you wondered if you can keep going? How many times have you wondered if you can keep pressing on? If you can stay in faith, if you can stay faithful? I mean, really? Well, it's not that bad. Okay, maybe it wasn't, can I remain a Christian? But it does mean, can I hang on? Like, can I really do what I'm called to do? The answer is yes, you can. Yes. You, because you have peace with God through Jesus Christ, you have access into grace in which you stand, which means you will receive from God all the grace you need to do what God has called you to do. I'm not saying it's going to be pretty, but you can do it. He'll keep you. He's going to keep you. This is what it means to stand in grace. He is going to keep you, so you keep coming to him. Peace with God means we have access into his grace. And fourth, peace with God means we have the hope of the glory of God in the future. Verse 2. Therefore, verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Through him, we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We're going somewhere. We're moving toward something. This whole thing is going to end up somewhere. It's going to end up in the glory of God. We're going to get to glory. God is going to conform us to the image of His Son. He's going to bring a new heaven and a new earth. He's going to give us new bodies. All things are going to be new. And the primary reality of that new place is God's glory. That's the primary reality. That's what you're going to notice. When you wake up in the new heaven and the new earth, and you open up your phone, and you go to the weather app, and you say, what's the weather going to be like today? It's going to say, glory. And you pop open your little calendar on your phone, and you say, what do I do today? It's going to say, glory, experience glory. And you go to your to-do list. What's on my to-do list today? Enjoy God's glory. I mean, we can't figure out all the details of what it's going to be like, but whatever it is, it will be in the presence of God. Revelation tells us this. Romans tells us this. It will be the glory of God. Why? Because He's going to conform us to the image of His Son, and we're going to share in His glory. Maybe it's just because I'm getting older. But when I was younger, and I know we have young people here, and if you think this way, it's great. No, it's fine. This is not a correction, but just telling you the way it is for me. When I was younger, you know, what are you looking forward to? It was always some new season of life. I was that guy that was never quite content with the season of life he was in. I always wanted more. When I was, you know, I couldn't wait to get out of high school. Didn't like high school. Why? Because I wanted to get married and be an adult. But I had to go to college. So I went to college. Couldn't wait to get out of college. Got out of college, went to seminary. Couldn't wait to get out of seminary. Got out of seminary, got a job. Can't wait to go back to school. No. But you see, it's like always looking for the next thing. I don't know. Maybe it's just a product of getting a little older, though I'm not old. Don't want to give you that thought. But now, I'm happy. I'm really okay. I'm emotionally okay. Don't worry about me. But I look forward to glory. That's where we're going. How are we going to get there? Access into grace. How do we get there? Peace with God. How do we get there? Through Jesus Christ, His cross, His resurrection. The primary reality of that newness that God is going to bring is glory, the glory of God. And the principal experience of the Christian is going to be the glory of God. All because peace has been established for us by Christ that we enter through faith in Him. So there's the description of peace. Before God, through Christ, access into grace, hope of glory. I said that I'm going to answer two questions. The first one was, what's this peace like? And the second one is, how do we enjoy it? And I think I could just say, we enjoy it by describing it like we just did. I've actually enjoyed the past 25 minutes. We enjoy it by thinking on it. But I do want to give you three practical ways, quickly and to close, three practical ways of enjoying peace with God. Number one, assure your heart with this peace. Assure your heart. When the message of peace is rooted in the reality of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when the message of peace is rooted in the call to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, you can be assured it's true. It's real. Real peace. It's not a false peace. The prophet Jeremiah warned strongly against somebody saying, there's peace when there's no peace. We don't want to be about false peace. But when peace with God, peace before God, is rooted in the reality and the truth of Jesus Christ, His cross and His resurrection on our behalf, and the call to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, it's not a false peace, it's a true peace, and we can assure our hearts with it when everything and everyone tells us otherwise. When we even start to condemn ourselves, though Satan himself should buffet and trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has made our peace. And we can say it is well with our soul. Stand there. Assure your heart before God. He has made the peace. Second, let this real peace hold sway, have a place in your mind. Now, this is challenging, and I'm going to be sensitive. I need it. Let it come to us in our minds, giving us the sense of peace, because there is actual peace. You know the difference, don't you? Actual peace is earned and won by Christ. The sense of it then can come into our minds. May the Lord help us sense it. When the book of Philippians says, don't be anxious, but pray, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. He's talking about how actual peace before God, won for us, earned for us on our behalf by Christ, comes into our minds in the sense of it. What a gift when peace with God touches us in our minds, and it starts to calm us, and it gives us the sense that God is with us, and that we are with Him, and that He's going to keep us, and that He's going to get us all the way home. And sometimes this peace eludes us. Sometimes it's very difficult to feel it. We just can't seem to get it. And it leaves our minds very anxious and very upset. And there are many reasons why this happens. And it happens to Christians. It happens to Christians who love the Lord. It happens to Christians who are genuinely converted to Christ and they are His children. But still, the sense that they have actual peace before God, but the sense of it is being lost on them. They can't seem to find it. And when that happens, it's really important that we do something to get help. Talk to friends, pray, see a counselor, see a doctor. We can do these things that can help us. But along with that, one thing and the thing that the child of God has, absolutely has, in this search for peace of mind, is real peace with God made by Christ. So keep telling yourself that. As you do other things to bring that peace of mind to help you, keep coming back to the foundation of it all and keep telling yourself, I have actual peace with God. In fact, this is true. The future of glory with God, the future of absolute peace with God, does not depend on the level of mental peace and emotional peace that we experience in this world. Thank the Lord. We want the emotional peace. We want the mental peace. Oh, what a gift it is. But sometimes we walk through these days without it. But it doesn't shake the fact that we have the actual peace with God. So, assure your heart and then pray and let's pursue letting it land in our minds and create a sense. But I would say this, it's probably better when the peace eludes us to search for Christ more than we search for the peace. Keep going back to Christ. May the Lord be with you in that. And then third, spread this peace. How do you enjoy peace with God? Spread it. Spread it. Every good gift is more enjoyable when you share it. Every good meal is more enjoyable when you have someone to eat it with you. Every good experience is more enjoyable when you when you have someone with you. I had the most glorious bicycle ride yesterday morning. It was just glorious. It was hot and humid and nasty, and it was just perfect. But I was alone, which is great. You know, I mean, I need to be alone every now and then. But I kind of thought while I was out there riding, it'd be cool to have somebody with me on this ride. This is a great ride. Peace. Share it. Let's join Jesus. You know what Ephesians 2 says? That Jesus preaches peace to those who are far away and to those who are near, because he is our peace. And when you enter that peace with Jesus, you join him in preaching peace to others who are far away and near, so they can come in. And the more we do it, the more we enjoy it. And then we do what Romans says. As far as it depends on us, we live at peace with all people. Hey, let's try to do that this week. Let's just try. Might not be possible. It says as far as possible. Might not be possible. But if it's possible, let's just try to be at peace. We'll do what James says. Make peace by sowing the seeds of peace. Can you do that this week? Can we do that? Can we say, let's sow a little seeds. Let's sow some seeds of peace this week, and not the seeds of division. I mean, even Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the children of God. Oh, we want the blessing.